Hi, and welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. I'm a passionate student of life, plant medicine mama, teacher, and self-care and abundance addict. I'm here to share my story as well as what I've learned through my 40 plus years of living and many life experiences that include personal bankruptcy, overcoming bulimia and alcohol addiction, and finding true healing that allowed me to embrace later in life pregnancy and motherhood after many fertility challenges and much loss. I have taken back my mental, financial, physical, and spiritual health after retiring from my career as a successful television director at age 30 to create the life of my dreams in Costa Rica. If you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone, take your life and health into your own hands, and finally feel truly connected and in love with your body and soul, then join me every single week. The Meg Pearson Podcast will offer an intimate look into my world, my struggles and successes, as well as potent insight and tools from my guests, fabulous friends, and spiritual teachers. I have become the empowered woman and mother I always knew existed deep within me, and now I coach others to do the same. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Meg Pearson Podcast. I am your host, Meg. I'm super excited to have you here. I'm doing a series of solo casts right now, talking about things that I have been noodling and writing notes about in my phone over the last 6 months. And now I'm sharing them with you in these little shorty episodes. So today, what I want to talk about is the topic of loneliness, as you probably gathered by the episode title. And this has been something that's been coming up a lot for me personally lately, with my conversations with my partner, my fiancé, Levi, as well as with a lot of clients and friends, for that matter. So I want you to tune in at the end of this episode. Do not hit stop, because I am going to give some tools about how to navigate this experience if you're feeling it in your life with your friendships, and also just some tips about making new friendships as an adult. Okay. So loneliness in motherhood is something that I've been really feeling into. And I'll admit, over the last, more than 6 months, but you know, over the last 6 to 7 to 8 months, I've been feeling quite alone and isolated, especially in my journey as a mother, but also as a woman. Living here in Costa Rica, you know, in a foreign country as a Canadian, you know, creating life in this transient beach town that is Tamarindo, it's been super tough to build a community of like-minded parents. You know, parents of small children in particular, because Levi and I have come to parenthood a little bit later in life. I know it is more common for people to have children later, but we did have our first Kobe at age 38, and our son Ozzy, he's only 3 months old, and I'm 42. I'm 42 years old. And so the pool of parents here, of parents of kids our children's age, is especially small. And also finding women with similar interests and values to myself has been particularly difficult as well. Given the world that I live in, I am, you know, working the medicine and don't drink, you know, and that is it makes things weird. It alienates me a little bit. And I think that is also a story that I have to dissolve. That being said, society does make us sober folks out to be the weird ones, but I'll talk about that another day. I digress. Not to mention, I work out of the home. I have a job that I go to at Rhythmia, and I also run a small business from my home office with my coaching clients and breathwork clients. So my time for connection is far less than some other families who move here, who may have children of the same age, but they're here in early retirement, or they have money coming in via other means that don't require them to be on the clock to the same extent that I am. Now, I know that these can sound like excuses. And trust me, I'm going to get into more of that later on in the episode. At any rate, over the last 3-4 months, I'm not going to lie, I was more than disappointed. Because leading up to the birth of my son, Ozzy, who is just over 3 months, will be 4 months very soon, I was a little bit heartbroken that no one in my community offered to throw me any sort of celebration prior to Ozzy joining us Earthside. When we were pregnant with my daughter in 2019, we did not have a regular baby shower then either, Big reason being down here where we live, there's not a lot of opportunity for folks to purchase baby products. There's just not a lot of stores here. We don't have Amazon. So I had ordered most of what I needed myself and brought it down from Canada. What we did do, however, is we invited all of our friends to the beach one evening for sunset, and we called it a diaper party. We just asked that everyone bring diapers. You know, that's a big expense for new parents, so that was super fun. And maybe this time around, my friends recalled that I didn't want a baby shower for Kobe, so they maybe just assumed I didn't want one for Ozzy. But the fact that no one even asked broke my heart. Over the last couple of years, I've had a lot of women closely knit, like women that have been my soul sisters, come and go from my life. Not all of them are mothers, so there's that. But I did want, especially the women that I know, to at least want to do something for me, to celebrate this second transition into motherhood. And I guess that expectation and that desire was my first mistake. Expectations can set us up for disappointment after all. So what I did a few weeks before Ozzy was due is I decided to take it upon myself to organize a get-together, something called a Mother's Blessing, a ceremonial gathering, a gaggle of goddesses coming together to celebrate motherhood, to celebrate me. And while I think it was a great idea for me to take it upon myself to do that, it became super overwhelming. It was a month before Ozzy was due, less than a month, I think. And it seemed a whole lot to be planning my own party while also preparing to move my family to a city 5 hours away to wait for the birth, wrapping up my time working my day job at Rhythmia. So the morning of this gathering, where I had about 6 or 7 women lined up to come, a few of them canceled last minute, just telling me they couldn't arrive, they couldn't show up that day. So enter disappointment once again. So I've been sitting a lot with this over the last couple of months since having my little baby boy. And I've come to the realization that it's really not anyone else's responsibility to make me feel connected. Back in June, I co-created something called the Empower Mastermind with two partners, two friends of mine, two powerful women, Kelly and Kara. And this container that we created has really proven to me that with a little bit of effort, we can really create that community that we desire and so desperately need. Over the last few years, my transition from single, wild, freedom-loving hippie to mother of two entrepreneur, during that time, several of my closest friendships have seemingly fallen away. Some of my best friends for years, I have not even spoken to in months and months. Many of them did not even reach out to say, hey, congratulations on bringing life earthside with your baby boy. I have found myself getting super upset under the belief that it is their responsibility to reach out. Since they're still single, they don't have as many commitments. They could not be nearly as busy as I am. This has all been in my head, obviously, as I know that even though they may have chosen to not have children, and I have, my life is super full right now. Single women also have busy and full lives too. I was that single woman for a long, long time. It truly does take effort on both sides to keep relationship fires stoked. Early on in my postpartum phase, I didn't want visitors. I was keeping it sacred, my family space super, super sacred. I also wanted to adhere to the notion that our newborns are very, very immunocompromised, and I just didn't feel the need to be exposing my little boy to too many people. Granted, 10 days postpartum, I did throw a birthday party for my daughter because my children are 10 days apart. And 10 days after my son was born, it was my daughter's 3rd birthday. So I did have a small gathering outside by the pool. Crazy, not recommended. Do not throw a party 10 days after you give birth. But finally, I was ready for visitors, and none of my closest friends had reached out. I did have one friend visit me, someone who I'd only spent a handful of one-on-one experiences with.
But nonetheless, she showed up with food and support for me in my postpartum phase. She did the dishes. She was an ear for me and an opportunity for me to talk to another adult outside of my relationship with Levi, obviously. When she offered to visit, I felt a twinge of anger, not towards her, but to all of my other friends who I thought were much closer, but had not made any effort. Yet here what this mother was, she took the time out of her schedule. She is a mother to two young children. She drove out to my condo just to show me some love. She and I got to talking that day about how difficult it is to find friendships as moms, and we dissected the importance of putting the effort in, creating the opportunities to connect instead of waiting for them. This is something that has come up with a lot of my coaching clients too. We must create the community that we seek. It is really easy to get stuck in the victim mindset in all things in life, including the ability to find that sense of community that we all want and need. After all, this is the human experience. We strive for connectivity. So instead of sitting around and complaining about how lonely we are, it is our job to go out there and seek. In a time where isolation, distance through online social media, and working from home has become the norm, it has become obviously harder and harder to stay attuned to others. And it is on us to nurture our hearts with meaningful connections and community experience. So if you don't have a crew, create it. This podcast serving as a reminder to all of you, but also maybe more importantly to myself. We can sit around and complain, or we can go out there and love on other humans and watch as relationships, community, connection unfolds. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. If you do find yourself, it's really easy for me to say, okay, you have to create the correction that you desire. But I'm going to break this down a little bit more for you right now. So the first part is, and I touched on this a little bit, is we have to let go of our expectation. When we're feeling alone, it can be really easy to place blame on all those who don't seem to be showing up for us. As our life changes, so do our needs, and we cannot expect people to show up for us the same or differently for that matter, if that's what we need, without communication. It's so important to realize that as our needs change, others may not want to or be able to show up for us the way that we hope as well. It's really important also to realize that as relationships shift and change, it doesn't necessarily reflect on you, your worth, or anything that you've done. Often big changes can coincidentally happen in our friends' worlds simultaneously to the expansion in our own reality, and it can seem like it's your fault that people aren't around the way that they used to be. But we must remember that we all live very full lives, and we are all the center of our very own universe. If you do feel like you want to rekindle a relationship that has been, you know, drowning a little bit, it's really important that you express your needs. This is one lesson that I learned recently after stewing in my loneliness and grief for the loss of the intimacy in some of my closest friendships. It wasn't until I finally spoke my truth to one dear friend in particular that she was able to meet my hurting heart with heaps of love and words of encouragement to remind me that it was nothing I had done, just simply time, distance, and life. It can be very easy for us to pull back and dwell in the quiet when it seems like relationships are falling away. This simply feeds into our aloneness when we should in fact be doing the opposite by reaching out and communicating what it is that we need in order to feel safe in our relationships. Granted, we will not always be met exactly where we think we need to be, but at least in the communication, we can allow ourselves to be witnessed in our feelings, which is so, so, so important. Finally, we must know that we are the only ones responsible for our happiness. It is our job to create the community that we want. This is the one thing I have to keep reminding myself and many, 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 many people that I work with. Whether you've become a new parent, are moving through lifestyle shifts, have experienced a massive transformation, quit a job, or have left a romantic relationship and are seeking an entirely new circle of friends, we are the ones responsible for our life and what we make it. So if you want a group of friends with like minds and similar values to yours, then you need to step up and seek those people out. many different ways to do that, right? Book clubs, joining a sports team, adult education classes, engaging in small talk, meeting other moms or dads at school pickup, volunteering. Okay, and so from here, this brings me to, you know, a few steps that I have obviously read about and researched and learned about as I've grown into adulthood, but just some really simple tips on making new friends in adulthood, okay? The first thing is we need to think positive. Even if you lose one friend, the pool of people on earth is vast. If you've forgotten, there's like billions of us. If we focus our lack of friends, if we focus on the lack, we're reinforcing that reality. So what we really need to do is be optimistic about the potential for new friendships. Every single day, it is possible to meet someone new that could become a lifelong bond. It's also really important that we do us, and you do you. Instead of sitting around at home thinking about how alone you feel, get out and fill your life doing things that you love to do. You'd be surprised how many new friends you can meet at any of those things that I just listed off, whether it's mom and baby yoga, simply going to the dog park, joining an adult painting class. Doing the things that light you up acts as an invitation to like-minded folks into your world. It's also really important that when you do meet new people, to be curious about them. So many of us easily slip into the me, this is who I am, this is my story, do you match up kind of conversation, right? One-sided. Far more important to be curious about the other person. That's what's going to make them feel seen and heard and want to spend more time with you. Of course, it's a give and take. But if both sides are curious, then that is where the flowers of a beautiful garden of friendship really, really start to bloom. Another funny thing that you can do is you can ask to be set up. Just as you may ask to be set up in your romantic relationships. I know a lot of people aren't comfortable doing that. I've done it in my past. Hey, do you know any single friends that might be good for me? I've done that. And it's worked out for a time in my younger days. But you could always ask around to some of the people that you know and say, hey, I'm really looking to expand my friendship circle. Do you know of anyone, or can you think of anyone off the top of your head who I might get along with really well? This is a simple thing to do in business, networking. This is how I've met a lot of people in the wellness community, is just being introduced virtually. And it's been a really powerful tool for me. And the last thing that you have to do is you have to trust. If you're feeling a massive shift taking place in your circles, I can guarantee you that there are other people in close proximity that are probably experiencing the same thing. And it's only a matter of time until you stumble upon each other, and you'll already have something in common, that you're in a phase of reinvention. If you're finding yourself struggling with some of the same things that I'm referring to today in this short little cast, please reach out. Find me on Instagram at Coach Meg Pearson. If you're feeling a lot of emotions coming up or triggers around this conversation, please consider working with me one-on-one. I've got a couple of spaces left in my coaching practice right now. And I'm also doing a lot of online breath work, which has been such a powerful tool for me to begin to understand what it is that I need in my life. And connection and community is a big one. So without further blah, 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 I'm going to let you guys go until next week. I love you all. Blessings. May Goddess guide you on your journey towards love. Thanks so much for listening, my friend. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Also, please follow the show over on Instagram at the Meg Pearson Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's episode, please head over to the podcast webpage at meganpearson.ca/the Meg Pearson Podcast. Until next time, lovers.